Rolling out of sleep with my 16 swiggers in corners on beach, steady dipping. I hang right at the light, ready to have fun. Then a bus left on the one.
From the heart of the district here on the Podzilla 1985 network. That doesn't work. This is Shannon Young, Mr. 100, on an all new Podzilla 1985, Podzilla After Dark. Podzilla, Podzilla, Podzilla. How many times can you say it in one time? We're going to do a show tonight, as you can probably tell, and I'm on my A game, so get ready for magic. With me tonight, as always, we've got the 42-star man, Jesse Kimball.
Hey there, good buddy.
Oh, ho there. How you doing? We've got Lindsay Wolfgang. Wolfgang, I'm
that
sorry.
That's not how you say my last name. Okay.
Wolfgang?
You say it right.
Wolfgang.
You put some respect on it.
We've also got Mr. Shelby Jackson here with us again this week.
Hello.
And listening but not actively participating, Tanner Calvert. I'll just say, hey, where the white women at?
Boys.
So let's start off the week with some great, fantastic news. I might have COVID-19. So
that's a legitimate possibility.
That is a legitimate possibility. I went to dinner with friends, with people, and I won't name names or anything. You know, it's not my job to put people on Front Street. But one of them did test positive for COVID-19 2 days later. And now I am self-quarantined for, fuck if I know, a couple days, 2 weeks. Basically, I might actually lie and say I've got symptoms and then go get the test tomorrow so I can go back to work, because I've been told that I can't go back to work until I either have the 14 days or, you know, I test negative. That's pretty scary. I'm going to be honest with you. I of course, we always talk about, you know, be safe when you're out and about. And I have been. I've worn my mask everywhere I've gone. I've socially distanced. I did end up going to a Mexican restaurant in Fruitland on Monday as I was invited out. And I thought, you know what? Why the hell not? Let's go out and let's go have dinner. So we go in and nobody is really wearing a mask. I've got my mask, obviously, but
Fruitland's wearing a mask.
And we sit down, and I remember in my head, I just kept thinking, like, this isn't safe. This doesn't feel safe. I don't think we should be doing this. But we did it anyway. And everything went fine. The food was good. I'm not going to say it was great. It was good. When I think of Mexican food, I want authentic Mexican, like Taco Bell. Not whatever they're serving over there. Who even knows what a Yolanda is, really? And yesterday, I got a phone call saying, hey, that person you had dinner with, they tested positive for COVID. So, enjoy. And now I'm, like, freaking out over every little thing that I feel. So, you know, I've got a sore throat, but I've had a sore throat. I kind of feel run down. And every time I feel something, I think, oh, God, I've got it. I've got the coronavirus. I'm sure I do. And I might actually have it. And even though I don't have an autoimmune disease, thank God, I do have high blood pressure. And people with high blood pressure are also more likely to get real hurt. So I'm really hoping that I don't have it. Lindsay was kind enough to bring me food and supplies today. And as soon as I heard her walk to the door, I ran and grabbed my mask. And I'm like, you back up. You ain't getting this from me. So, you know, thank you, Lindsay, for being sweet and trying to help me out. It's one thing to say be safe when you don't think you've got it. But once you think you might have it, it really changes your perspective on the whole thing. I'm a little freaked out right now, Jesse.
No, I can confirm, because I don't know if I actually told you, but I had to get tested for coronavirus the week that I moved.
Yay!
That was a ridiculous amount of stress, because I was super sick. Thankfully, I had Shelby here taking care of me, and I mean, I had at one point my fever capped out at 103. Turns out it was just real bad case of strep throat, and I've never been happier to have strep throat. Because that whole time I thought that I maybe had coronavirus, and again, on a week where I was moving.
Yeah.
So, like, people were coming over to help me move.
Yeah, that.
And I needed to be out of my apartment by a certain point that was far before the recommended quarantine time.
The worst part, well, not the worst part about it, but one of the bad parts about it is as soon as I got the phone call, I thought, okay, I felt like someone that had an STD, and it's like, okay, well, now I need to call every person that I've been with and let them know that, hey, I might have this, so you should get tested. So I had to start calling people, and it was embarrassing, and it was awkward, and I was so pissed at myself because, like, I don't want to get anybody else sick. I've been preaching safety, and I've tried to be as safe as possible, and I let my guard down one time to go out for dinner. Because it's not like, you obviously can't wear a mask while you eat. You have to take your mask off when you eat. It's a reason why you probably shouldn't go out to dinner, honestly. I was happy to go back out into the public for once, you know, because I don't go out much. So other than to get like Walmart and, you know, things that I have to get so I can stay home. So to go out and actually be among people and eat, like, you know, the world is not a burning dumpster, was nice. But goddamn, if I shouldn't have been more careful about it and not done it, because now I'm suffering possibly the consequences, which could either be nothing, God willing. It could be that I do have it and I'll just get a little sick or maybe not even feel it for 2 weeks and then go back to normal. Or worst case scenario, you know, I'm not stupid enough to think that there's no chance that I could end up on a ventilator. I could die from this. I could, you know.
Possibility.
So maybe.
Very scary possibility.
I dare the next person that comes into the store and calls it a hoax again. I might just rip their throat out at this point. No words. Just stabbing.
Especially if, you know, you do end up like on a ventilator or something like that. When you come back, somebody comes in talking that nonsense.
If I come back. And you best believe if I'm on a ventilator and I have access to my phone still, there's some people that are getting some messages and they're not all going to be pleasant. So, now, of course, I'm not talking to Zane Laney. Zane Laney, you will get a message, but it'll be very pleasant. It'll be the
As
most
it
pleasant.
It always should be.
I'm really disappointed because I was getting a group together to go see New Mutants this weekend in Perryville with the lovely Derek Boxdorfer. But now I can't because I can't leave. So.
And why is this the first that I'm hearing of this?
We were going to surprise you with it for your birthday.
I also hadn't heard about it.
I was also going to surprise you for your birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because so basically the first person I asked was Billy Hills, because Billy and I, when we went to dinner, so it was me and Derek and Maria and Billy. We went to dinner after the last CCW show, and Derek told us, you know, and I'm not going to say where Derek works, but he heard through the grapevine that they were going to be showing New Mutants in Perryville. So me and Billy got all excited. We're like, oh, we'll go opening night. And then Derek told me when opening night was. So I asked Billy. He said, yes, of course. And that was the same day that I found out I had coronavirus, or I could have coronavirus. So I just hadn't got a chance to talk to you guys yet, to be fair.
Yeah, Derek came to me with the same information. I was highly considering that offer because it's actually a really solid deal. It's like $7 a ticket for not a matinee.
Right.
And then the popcorn and soda combo, I think for that night anyway, it's like $10 for two $10. Sodas and popcorn.
Yeah.
That's and absurd.
Plus, and when was the last time you got out and got to watch a film, you know?
Oh my God, it's been so long.
I'm pretty sure the last film we saw, Lindsay, was either Sonic the Hedgehog or Harley Quinn. I can't remember which one.
Harley Quinn was the last one I saw in theaters.
I don't remember which one we saw first.
One was significantly better than the other.
I finally did see Sonic.
It's not bad.
Nah, me and Shelby rented it from the family vidges.
It's not a bad film.
It was
all right. It's exactly what you thought it was going to be.
I've
just been all like, Bill and Ted comes out tomorrow or today. Yeah, tomorrow. And I want to watch it. And I'm going to have to wait now.
All right, because I guess once Shannon's off quarantine, we need to get a group together and do that.
Oh, just go go see it without me. Don't make her wait.
I mean, I wasn't going to go see it. I was going to do the demand.
Well, I still can't go to that, so.
Exactly. I know.
It's all right. I'm pretty sure I know how it ends. Well.
I have my guesses.
Yeah.
Because I do want to see that movie real bad.
I was right in the middle of watching the new Charlie's Angels last night when I got the phone call. I didn't get to finish it. But I will say, for all the controversy that movie had, I was enjoying it. So.
Honestly, I would have seen it had I known it was a thing.
Well,
I didn't find out.
That's what I said. They made another one?
Yeah, I didn't find out about the movie until like weeks after it was out of theaters. When Elizabeth Banks was complaining about it failing.
Yeah, and it's pretty good. And what I really like is that they tie it together to the other Charlie's Angels movies. So it's not like this is a standalone reboot. This actually continues the story because Patrick Stewart, not to spoil too much, but Patrick Stewart is Bosley. for a while, and they have this retirement party for him, and they show him pictures from his history as Bosley, and there's a picture, and his computer, obviously they inserted him into the pictures, but there's a picture of him, a younger Patrick Stewart, with the cast of the TV show, and then there's a picture of him with, like, Cameron Diaz and Lucy Liu and Drew Barrymore, and I'm like, oh, okay, so they're actually saying that this is all the same story. That's cool. I like that. I got about halfway through it, and then, you know, I got the phone call, and then suddenly I didn't care about Charlie's Angels anymore, so.
Fair.
But it was, you know, to be fair, it was a little too sexy. It was a little too sexy for me. I have blood pressure problems, so. Oh, Jesse, where to begin? You want to talk about the motherfucker of the week?
Oh, this is a bad week. It was a bad week.
Yeah.
It's a bad year. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but this week in particular, I've got two that I'm nominating. You got right. You got some?
No, you go ahead and hit yours, because I guarantee they're the same.
I don't think so. Okay, oh. So in full disclosure, I cannot nominate for Motherfucker of the Week one Kyle Rittenhouse. We'll talk about him in a minute. He is not something I want to attach to something even vaguely comedic, because what he did was so disgusting.
No, that's completely fair.
So my first one is Rudy Giuliani, of course.
Rudy.
Big Rudy. So I don't know if you saw Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers gave this really great speech about the shooting of Jacob Blake, which we'll also talk about here in a few minutes, which is why Tanner's terrified, because he knew he was going to get upset during the show, and he wanted to relax tonight. Don't blame him. This is an upsetting situation. Sure. But he gave this speech, and one of the things he said, one of the key things he said was that... what is that? I want to make sure I get it right. I don't want to misquote the gentleman. He said that black people love America, but the country does not love them back. So... Rudy Giuliani, of course, he was on Brian Kilmeade's show. Brian Kilmeade, if you don't know, is one of the talking heads on Fox News. He's one of the morning hosts, along with the other white guy and the interchangeable white blonde girl that goes in and out to different people every so often, but nobody really notices. He was on his show, and he said what Doc is doing is seriously misleading the African-American community. It's a con job the Democrats have played on them for 60 years. About the fact that the country doesn't love them back. He said that's a totally ridiculous statement about loving this country. Look, the danger of getting shot by a cop is about 0.1%. The danger of being shot and killed by another black is about 99%. So for every 8 or 10 people that are shot by cops every year, 7,000 are killed by other black men. So hey, Doc, how about we deal with that? Stop blaming it on the cops. He said that cops do, quote, make a mistake once in a while. But the bigger issue is, why are they in your neighborhood 10 times more than anybody else's neighborhood? Because they don't like you, or because you're killing each other 10 times more than anybody else, and they're trying to protect the innocent victims that your people are killing. Giuliani claims he has the right to speak on the matter because when he was mayor, he saved more black lives than anyone else.
He sure did with stop and frisk.
He said, how about you deal with the real problem and stop the bull? The real problem is the heavy level of crime in the black community. So even if you take that at any kind of value... If you look at the statistics, he may be right that more black men are killed by more black men in this country than cops. That's true. But you also have to look at the reason that there is so much crime in those communities. You have to look at the systematic racism that has oppressed a lot of these people.
It's also not fair to compare the crimes of citizens versus people that are actually there. They're supposed to be there to protect you.
Right. I mean, there's about a million things wrong with what he said.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know, to hear this old white dude refer to it as the blacks and your people and stuff, like, it's just, I don't know, it made me itchy. It made me a little disgusting.
Looking at Rudy makes you itchy and feel a little disgusting.
He's like a goddamn retirement vampire.
A retirement vampire?
He looks like Nosferatu if Nosferatu, you know, drank, like, burger juice instead of blood.
Oh.
Think about that.
Burger juice instead of blood.
But I think I have to give Motherfucker of the Week. I don't think there's anyone more deserving. So if you have somebody, I'd like to know if it's not this person. I'm going to mispronounce her name. Masika Kalisha, I think is her name. Masika Kalisha? Did you hear about this?
What's she do?
No.
Holy shit. So she is the star of, what is this show? Love and Hip Hop Hollywood. And she posted a video of herself on Tuesday in her underwear, just black bra, black panties, with bruises and cuts all over her, and said that she was being held captive in a warehouse and she had been assaulted and that they were not going to let her go and they were going to hurt her unless they go to her OnlyFans account and tip her and follow her.
What the fuck?
She then provided the link for her OnlyFans account and again was crying, saying she had been kidnapped and that they were going to hurt her unless you went to her OnlyFans, followed her, and tipped her money. So, after that, people are freaked out. She posts another video of her in a robe saying that she's actually on the set of a new TV show she's doing. And she did that video to draw attention to sex trafficking. But that doesn't explain why she wanted people to go to her OnlyFans account and give her money. So she said she's been working with the Rose Organization about this. The founder of the Rose Organization condemned it and said they had nothing to do with it, that it was disgusting. And, like, she has yet to address the money that was given to her on her OnlyFans account. She has yet to say what she's doing with that, if she's keeping it, if she's going to donate that to the Rose Organization.
Oh, she's keeping it. You know she is.
As much as I hate Rudy Giuliani, you kind of expect really Rudy Giuliani to be a piece of shit. But this chick, holy shit, that blew my mind. I watched the video. I first saw it on the Philip DeFranco show. And it's disturbing. She's crying. She's bruised. She looks like someone that has been beaten. And she's pointing down and saying, you have to go to my OnlyFans, follow me, and tip me, or else they're going to hurt me. They won't let me go. Holy shit, what a disgusting person.
Yeah, that's fucked up. That's real fucked up.
I've got no... Because I don't know who she is. I've never watched Love and Hip Hop Hollywood, is that what it's called? Yeah, Love and Hip Hop Hollywood. I've never watched it. I don't know what it is. My reality... Same. The last reality show I watched, I legitimately think was Flavor of Love. If that tells you how fucking far back that goes.
I did watch half an episode of that... hell, I don't remember what it's called. It's that new one on Netflix where they have like the whole bunch of hot idiots and they tell them the last person to not fuck somebody gets $1 million and they put them on this like... Have you guys not heard about this?
That's not a show.
No, it's straight up is a show. It's so they take a bunch of hot idiots, they put them on this like vacation home on an island where everything is awesome and all of their shit is taken care of, and all they gotta do is not fuck, and the last one to do it gets $1 million.
That is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life.
Well, I gotta, I'm gonna go to Netflix, I'm gonna find this fucking show.
Put me on that show, I guarantee you I will walk out with $1 million.
Yeah, no, like, that's the kind of shit that I'm talking about. Like, I see that shit and I'm like, all you gotta do is not
have sex. Once you get $1 million, everyone will want to have sex with you. That is so stupid. I heard about that show, but I thought it was a joke. I thought it was an SNL bit.
Nah, it's straight up a show.
That's depressing.
It really is.
It's 100% depressing.
Let's see.
Oh, my God.
Reality TV. Here we go. Let's see if I can find what it's called. Talk amongst yourselves while I find this.
Well, I was going to ask you who you said we were probably going to say the same person. Who were you thinking of?
You got my two and the one that doesn't count. And I guess
Giuliani?
I guess that Giuliani wasn't my other one. The other one was the cop that tried to murder a man.
Oh, you were talking about, what the hell was his name? Some white dude.
Yeah, some white dude.
Some white cop. We'll talk about that. I don't want to talk about it yet, though, because I don't want to be talking about it and you interrupt it with talk about Sex Island or whatever it is. Is it called Sex Island?
The show is called Too Hot to Handle. Christ. Apparently Andrew can hear me talking about it and just sent a message to say what it is. Okay, and they share the final amount every time they make out or kiss or anything sexual. It costs the entire group money. Oh my God, it's worse than I thought. So apparently they all split the grand prize at the end. Every time they make out or do anything, it decreases the amount of money they all get.
And it's 4 weeks.
They're not
weeks.
Getting anything.
4 weeks, apparently. So I'm reading about this. It says the host of the series is a virtual assistant named Lana, who announced that the contestants had been tricked into having no physical human contact for 4 weeks. If they made it, they would each be paid, I guess, $100,000.
Oh my god. my roommate says that it's a really stupid show and he loves it.
Of course.
I have no words.
Does Nailed It count as reality TV?
Does what?
Nailed It? Because I do enjoy that show a lot.
Oh, I love watching this.
I find that to be more entertainment than reality, because usually with reality TV, there's no entertainment to be had.
Wes?
She loves Wes.
Oh, everybody loves Nailed It.
Everybody. I haven't watched any of it, like, on my own, but Andrew's a big fan of it, and every time it's on the TV, I'll end up sitting down on the couch and watching an episode or two.
Every time there's a new season, I just binge through it because I cannot stop laughing at their inability to cook.
Their inability to do the most basic things.
Basic baking is beyond them.
Speaking of inability, I did want to mention the inability of the police to... What a fucking terrible segue. But considering we've got 10 minutes or about 15 minutes before we are going to move to our topic of the night, our top five that's chosen by Lindsay Wolfgang, I feel we should talk about this because it's important. So I apologize. If you came here for Nailed It, we ask you to tune in next week where we'll have our top five Nailed It episodes. That's not going to happen, for the record.
Oh, show me.
I mean, we got you, 3 or 4 seasons in a Christmas special.
You just straight up pulled, like, you went straight Tiny Tim on Shelby. You raised her hopes and dashed them quite expertly. She looked so excited and then flipped you off.
Oh. Well, hey, look. Maybe next week we can work it into our favorite Netflix shows, favorite reality shows. We'll figure it out. But first, this week, we got to talk about this. I've been wanting to talk about it. I've been saving it for tonight. If you know the story of Jacob Blake, if you don't know it, I'll tell you real quick. So Jacob Blake, if you go watch the video, if you have the stomach for it, the gist of it is cops were called. He apparently was breaking up a fight between two women. Cops were called because someone said that her boyfriend was there and he wasn't supposed to be, which I'm assuming is Jacob Blake. I'm not sure. They haven't really clarified that. Cops get there. The video starts with Blake walking around his car. Keep in mind, his three kids are in the car. He walks around to get in his car. Cops are pulling on his shirt, trying to keep him. And as he gets in the car, the cop who is holding him at point blank range shoots him 7 times in the back. And first off, I love my friends and I love people in general. And I doubt those people are even listening to this, but I posted this on my Facebook, and even if one person sees this and their first reaction is not, how the fuck is this right that a cop shot a guy 7 times in the back in front of his 3 children? If your first reaction is, well, why was he walking away? It doesn't fucking matter why he's walking away. Walking away from a cop or being stupid in a police situation is not grounds for execution. It never has been. It never should be.
Yeah, because he was unarmed. He was not aggressive.
He was walking away.
Yeah, he was trying to walk away because, again, like you said, he was there for a fight. More details have come out. Yeah, like his girlfriend called to say that he had stolen her keys or something like that, and he was somewhere he wasn't supposed to be. But they were already answering the call, and it was unrelated to that.
And none of which, again, should be met with 7 shots to the back at point-blank range.
Yeah, I mentioned it because, you talk about that post, and yeah, there was one guy on there who was like, why was he trying to get in the car? Like, why does that matter?
It doesn't fucking matter. It does,
like, and I mentioned it to him, was like, I did not want to get in a huge argument with him, but I'm just like, okay, so even if all the, you know, anti-BLM nonsense that they're putting out there, whether exaggerated or outright false, all of that does not excuse this man shooting him 7 times in the back.
And,
not at all.
And if you think this isn't a thing, again, just imagine for a second, it's not this black man doing this. Imagine it is your 17-year-old niece, your daughter, pretty little white girl who's a little tipsy and freaks out when a cop is trying to grab her and doesn't know what to do, so she tries to walk away, and they shot her 7 times in the back. You don't think that would be all over the fucking news and it would be a huge thing? Of course it would. If you don't think this is a problem, you are blind. It is 100% a problem. Apparently, he told the cops that he had a knife, and they recovered a knife in the floorboard of the driver's side of the car. So I guess they're insinuating that maybe he was going for the knife.
Well, my favorite part about that is you have, like, the cops are telling the guy, drop the knife, drop the knife, drop the knife, all the way to the door. Then they say they found a knife on the floorboard that he was reaching for. Plus, okay, was he reaching for a knife when you shot him dead, or when you tried to shoot him dead? Because miraculously, he lived.
He did, but he was paralyzed
from the waist down.
Yeah,
but he lived. So, like, when you tried to kill this man, did he have a knife in his hand and he was reaching into the car to try and get away from you, or was he
reaching for another knife? Was he going to dual wield? I guess.
Like, what are you talking about? Because. Yeah, I guess I don't know if they just realized they were getting filmed, so they started saying dumb shit like, drop the knife. Because the guy that was filming is, and I'm looking at the video, and granted, like, it's not the highest quality, but I feel like if he had a knife, we would have been able to see it.
And I also want to point out, stress the fact that you've got, what, 3-4 cops, guns drawn at this guy, and even if he does have a knife is a melee weapon, and I know enough about Dungeons & Dragons, thanks to Hunter at this point, to know that if you have a melee weapon and you have ranged characters, the ranged characters have the advantage because they don't have to get close to the guy. The cop didn't have to hold onto his shirt and try to drag him the entire way when he was away. If they thought he really had a weapon and they were worried he was going to use it, maybe step back, let him, if he is going to grab the weapon and do something dumb, let him grab the weapon. Then you have grounds to shoot him at least because he was being threatening. But this guy was just walking away. There's no way I think anyone can spin this into being his fault, and yet they have. Of course they have.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, because he had felony assault charges.
And then that brings us, I wish we could talk more about it, because there's so much to unpack with this, but one thing I really wanted to stress on with the difference between how we look at people in America, if you don't think it's a problem, this black man was shot 7 times in the back, by the way, again, in front of his 3 children, for possibly having a knife. Meanwhile, after the riot started, after the protest started, you have this little fucker, this 17-year-old white kid from Illinois, because of course he is. Sorry to my people from Illinois. I'm from there too. I'm also ashamed. And this dude, I don't know if you know the full story on this.
No, yeah, I know it. Go ahead.
Apparently, a group of vigilantes went out in Wisconsin that night to protect businesses from the looting and the riots and whatnot. Now, I have said it before. I don't like torching businesses. I don't like it. I get why it's done. I don't like to see people's hard work destroyed for something they didn't do. I don't like it, but it happens because of shit like this and people, the outrage that people feel. I don't like it, but it happens. But these vigilantes took it upon themselves to arm themselves to the teeth and go protect these buildings. And you had this 17-year-old kid with, I believe, an AK-47 walking through the streets. And not only was he not stopped by the cops, they actually gave him a bottle of water and talked with him as he's walking around fucking armed to the teeth.
Sheesh.
Later
it gets
that
so
night,
much worse.
He ended up shooting and killing 2 protesters and injuring a third. There's video of him literally stopping, going down to a knee and shooting people. So the cops approach the scene. The protesters are going after this guy because he just shot people and killed them. He walks through the cops with his AK-47, they let him go, and then they go over to the protesters and stop them while they're shouting, he's the shooter, he's the shooter. The cops let him go. He walked away from the scene.
Yeah, he completely walked away from the scene, went home, slept that night, turned himself into the local authorities the next day for having killed 2 people.
Now, he has, I think he was charged, he's been booked for homicide, so good. But that doesn't excuse why the fuck the cops would let a kid with an AK-47 just walk away from the scene of a shooting. Like, what fucking sense does that make?
Oh, it's because he was on their side. That's why.
It's a massive conflict of interest.
Well, the kid did have, he was at a Trump rally recently, because of course he was.
Oh, yeah.
He is a huge Trump supporter. He also backs the blue. If you don't know what the Back the Blue movement is, by the way, it's a movement created in direct protest of Black Lives Matter, because they're so upset that we're putting attention on these black people that are being murdered in the street that they felt the need to, you know, give them a rub and say, well, support the blue. Blue Lives Matter. Back the blue. Which, of course, all lives matter. Yeah, if we have to fucking explain this to you for the 30th time, I'm just going to shut the show down. You should know now that saying Black Lives Matter does not mean that all lives don't matter. It doesn't mean that blue lives don't matter. Just look at the read the fucking room for once and see where we're coming from.
Yeah. No, the slogan now is, and I really, really like it, all lives don't matter until black lives do.
There was, I believe it was Mike Pence. They asked him to flat out say Black Lives Matter. They were like, just say Black Lives Matter. Just say it. He couldn't do it. He just kept saying all lives matter. He would not say the word Black Lives Matter. That is the fucking problem. And that is what excuses a 17-year-old white kid from Illinois to walk through a protest with an AK-47 and murder two people. And it's just absolutely disgusting. I don't know how many more times we could do shows like this where we talk about things like this. And the fact that there are still people on my Facebook even, who I work with and I'd like to call acquaintances or friends or whatever, that have this backwoods fucking mentality of, well, it's their fault. In fact, those protesters that were shot and killed of, I don't know if it was the police in Wisconsin. It was definitely an official insinuated that the reason this happened was not because the kid was walking around with an AK-47. He said it was because protesters were out past curfew. If they weren't out past curfew, no one would have been shot. That's your fucking priority? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, how about you don't?
The fact that we've had to have multiple shows on this same topic just further proves that it's just not getting through the world's head.
But Shannon, he was a good guy with a gun. He was going to stop all the bad people.
He was going to stop the bad guy with the possible knife, you know?
Yeah, no, maybe I've heard other people try to say, like, back. Somebody threw a Molotov cocktail at him, and then that turned into a brick, and then he was getting assaulted beforehand. And so, yeah, but like you watch the video and he just opened fire on a group of people.
And there's no doubt, like, to be fair, they were throwing things at police officers. They were throwing bricks. They were throwing rocks. It's a ugly situation out there. But you also have police officers decked out in riot gear. You have paramilitary that nobody knows who they even work for out there. It's a scary situation, and a lot of people think that they're literally defending their lives at this point. And when you have a guy, a vigilante, quote unquote, I hate using that term because that makes him almost sound cool, and there's nothing cool about this little prick. But when you have a guy like that going out and shooting protesters in the street and then walking away scot-free, yeah, that's why people are afraid.
Yeah,
for fuck's sake, get your fucking mind right.
It'll be white kid guns down a group of people and goes home. Black guy reaches for a knife, maybe.
Shot seven times in the back.
Yeah.
Seven times in the back. Not once, not thrice, seven times. Jesus Christ. All right. That's all. That's all I can say about it right now. I want to get off the topic because I'm getting heated, and in my COVID state, that could kill me.
And I'm really excited about this topic tonight.
And you know what? If I'm going to die
far and beyond five.
If I'm going to die anyway, Jesse, go ahead. Put seven bullets in my back. Tell them I was reaching for a knife. Tell him I support Black Lives. You'll get away with it. Actually, have Shelby do it. She's cuter than you.
That's true. That's really true.
She'll get away with it. She'll get away with it. Okay, Lindsay. Will, on to happier times. What's the topic of the night? What's our top five?
Our top five tonight are our top five 90s comedy films.
Wait, comedy films?
Movies.
Oh, I thought it was TV shows.
No.
Shit.
Movies.
Well,
did you really think I said TV?
I did. So let me erase my list and.
I mean, I'm sure you can pull five together.
She maybe. Did, in fairness, just say top five comedies. But
I said 90s comedies. I said
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
in
90s
the...
comedies. It's just you didn't specify movies. Movies is implied, I think, but.
Clearly not. Because Shannon thought she was talking about TV shows. That's all right.
I mean, we can do both, I guess.
No, I've already just erased my mishmash. List. I've already shut your mouth. I've already erased my list. I will just say that the number one pick for my 90s comedy TV shows. Does anyone want to wager a guess at what it was?
Married with Children.
It was Married with Children, yes.
I was about to say Simpsons, but I was like, no.
Shit. Hold on. Let me see something.
Technically, I think Simpsons started in the 80s.
So did Married with Children. Mm. Ah, fucking Jesse. All right. Let's... Top five comedies of the 90s. All right. As always on the show, we always start with them. So let's go to Shelby. Ah, you didn't expect that, did you?
I didn't.
It just means she gets first pick.
I'm going to go with Muppet Treasure Island.
Oh.
Yay!
Love that soundtrack.
I love that movie.
So good.
Yes.
It's one of my all-time favorite soundtracks. I listen to that quite a bit. It was also one of the darkest Muppet movies that I can remember. And maybe they've been dark before, but like it was talking about murder, and it was crazy.
It's true.
But it was also funny.
It's true.
It's true, too.
Pirates. And it had Tim Curry.
It did.
Mm-hmm. As Long John Silver.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right.
It was his only number.
But it wasn't.
I know.
He lied to us. All right, Jesse, let's swing it over to you. Give me one of your favorite comedies of the 1990s.
All right, sticking with the tradition of stealing from Shannon.
Don't you dare.
I'm going to say Friday.
It wasn't actually on my list.
What?
You got lucky. Yeah.
What? I was actually going to change it because I was going to let you have Friday.
No, I actually forgot about Friday. I'm going to be honest.
Oh, damn.
Plus, I'm making my list now, so.
Oh, fair enough. My actual first one's going to be Tommy Boy.
God damn it! Stick with fucking Friday!
Now you can have Friday!
But you already said it. He's not going to want to say it now.
No, honestly, like, Shelby can back me up. Tommy Boy is in, like, real big letters at the very top of the list.
Every goddamn time.
I guess I shouldn't have forced the bit. The bit would
you tease me. You tease me. All right, Jesse, tell us about Tommy Boy.
Oh, it's got David Spade and that guy from SNL. So Shelby and I were actually watching a Do College Kids Know 90s Movies?
Mm-hmm. And they don't.
They don't. But Tommy Boy is up there. Is like, oh, it's David Spade and that guy from SNL. Broke my heart.
Wait, hold on. How do you know David Spade but not Chris Farley?
Right? Oh, I guess David Spade is still doing stuff.
Yeah, but nobody knows it. in all fairness.
Oh, I know why. If they're college kids, it's because they all liked The Emperor's New Groove.
Fucking hipsters.
Distinct possibility. But yeah, no.
Just a bunch of hipsters.
I love Tommy Boy. Like it's one of my all-time yes. favorite movies in general. Yeah, Chris Farley, David Spade, and it's basically about Tommy Boy trying to save the company from Rob Lowe and his mom wife.
Played by the lovely Bo Derek.
It's true.
She's a perfect 10.
10 out of 10.
That was a movie she did.
Hey,
right.
Dad, is that for me? No, son,
Tommy Boy.
That's
I think,
for me.
Fine choice there. Let's go over to Lindsay. Lindsay, what's your first pick?
So my first one is going to be my go-to VHS rental if there wasn't something new that I wanted to watch, which is Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
I didn't put that on my list specifically because I knew Lindsay would have it.
No, seriously, I rented that film so many times. Like, our gas station down the road from us started renting movies after a while, and it was one of the ones they had, so I got to the point I was almost renting this movie, like, bi-weekly.
Good lord.
Jeez. All right, now that I'm looking through these lists, yeah, I'm going to have more than five.
Oh, yeah, I've got, like, 20
oh, yeah,
on my
no,
list,
there's all
just
kinds
in case
of good
a
fodder.
Bunch of mine gets stolen.
Well, Lindsay, you still didn't tell us about the movie, though. For people that don't know what the movie is.
Okay, so in the first film, they went through time so that they could finish a history report. In this one, they get killed by evil robot versions of themselves, and they have to travel through heaven and hell to get back to Earth.
It's so good.
The original title they wanted to go with, but the producers wouldn't let them, was Bill and Ted Go to Hell.
I can see why they wouldn't allow that in the 90s.
Uh-huh.
They were all sensitive back then. And they've got a new Bill and Ted coming out.
They do.
Yes, tomorrow.
With Death coming back, which is really cool.
Yes, yep.
All right, well, I guess that's going to take it over to me. I've got. Oh god, I just erased my entire list.
You okay, can go for the other version of Tommy Boy.
The Black Sheep, the worst version?
Oh yeah, it is the worst version. Aww. I still like Black Sheep, but it's nowhere near as good.
Alright, so I know this is going to steal one from somebody, but since Jesse did it to me, I'm going to do it to you guys.
That's fair.
That's fine.
My first pick, and it was one of my favorite movies growing up, Clueless.
That's Yay. A good movie.
That was on my list, but that's fine.
Yeah, Clueless, if you don't know, is it's what's her name? Alicia Silverstone.
Alicia Silverstone.
Yeah. Alicia Silverstone, Stacey Dash, and Brittany Murphy. It's a coming-of-age story about spoiled, beautiful people doing spoiled, beautiful things, but kind of learning a lesson about life. It also has a young Paul Rudd and one of my favorite actors, Dan Hedaya. So, if you don't know Clueless, you're fucking brain dead anyway. So,
it's also basically a modernized version of Pride and Prejudice, if I'm remembering correctly.
It's fine. Alicia Silverstone. I wish Tanner was here to hit that crush button. I'll just make it for him. Mwah. Actually, all three of the women in that movie, they were all beautiful, but especially Alicia Silverstone. But especially...
Because she was just a dumb virgin who couldn't drive.
But especially Stacey Dash. But Stacey Dash went on to become a Fox News consultant. Eh, I don't want to talk about it anymore. Let's go back to Shelby.
So weird.
Right, I've got Army of Darkness.
God damn it.
That was knock it off my list. Probably my number one of all time, actually, is that one.
Oh, I love Army of Darkness.
That's a great movie.
So good.
It's so... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, you're good.
No, I was just going to say, you know, I the first one I watched the first Evil Dead first. And then and it was such a serious horror film. And then Evil Dead 2...
Well, it certainly took itself seriously.
Yes. And the second one was such a blend of comedy and horror, but it was still kind of horror. And then Army of Darkness was just slapstick comedy. It was basically the Three Stooges with monsters.
So it was just a grand old time.
And Bruce Campbell.
Also, it is important to note that Shelby, unrelated to this entirely, is wearing an Ash vs. the Evil Dead shirt.
Also a good show. I need to finish it. Need to finish that. Shelby, I take it you're a fan of the Evil Dead.
Yes. Yes, I am.
I find more and more things about you every week I find out that I like. Because I am also a huge fan of the Evil Dead. Anyway, Jesse's never actually seen it.
He's lying.
Is he?
she got real excited for a second that she was going to be able to show me a movie. And I'm like, nah, I've definitely seen all of them.
Make sure we don't have a Tanner type scenario where you've never seen classics.
Because Tanner refuses to watch The Predator.
He won't watch Predator.
I don't understand it.
Why?
Because he'd rather go watch Bucket Brigade 30 again.
Bucket Brigade 30. Oh, the joke is that Tanner bathes in a bucket.
Oh. That ain't a joke. That actually happened.
Well, yeah, when he was a kid, they needed to put him in a bucket because he was a mountain and they couldn't just put him in.
There's an image for you. Jesse, go next.
All right, my next one's going to be Happy Gilmore.
Yay.
God damn it.
I figured you would take the other one.
Don't you want to go home? Are you too good for your home?
I've got like 50 of them on here. But okay.
No, yeah, I love Happy Gilmore is my all-time favorite Adam Sandler movie. I could watch it over and over and over and over again. I love that movie.
You like it more than Billy Madison?
I do.
Yeah, I agree with that. He's way less annoying than he was in Billy Madison.
Yeah, I mean Billy Madison, don't get me wrong, still a classic.
It has its moments, so but Happy Gilmore, I can legitimately say I enjoy the entire film.
The best parts of Billy Madison really are when Adam Sandler is drunk. What are you looking at, Swan?
Oh, I see.
Conditioner is better.
So sorry to interrupt.
I love that movie. But yeah, Happy Gilmore I definitely like more. That's an incredible film.
Lindsay.
Next, I'm going to go with the other film that my brother and I rented all the time. The original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
That's a good one.
No, that doesn't count. It's not a comedy.
It is. It is under comedy.
How is it not a comedy? It's hilarious. Mm-hmm.
It's a superhero movie.
It's still under comedy.
I know. I just wanted it. You took it from me.
I'm sorry. You should have said it earlier.
I would say Secret of the Ooze is probably more of a comedy.
It is, yeah, because it was comical. I still prefer the original.
Yeah, because it's better.
No, the original is
way
better.
Yeah. not a fan of that. Oh my god. I'm looking through lists here just to make sure I don't miss one, and I'm seeing so many that
Yeah, I wrote down a ton between last night and today, and I have just been like weeding it down throughout the day.
Yeah, I've written down a very large number, and I had to stop because I ran out of note.
Well, let's go ahead. Let's keep it going. I'm going to say Fear of a Black Hat.
I have never seen it.
I've mentioned this movie.
What was like, it? I didn't.
So
I didn't
many times.
Yeah. It's a rap mockumentary about a group called NWH. I will not tell you what that stands for. You can't make me. But it's Rusty Cundiff. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name correctly. I think it's Rusty Cundiff. He wrote and directed it. He also stars in it. It's hilarious. It is such a good send-up of the rap culture, and it's just very, very funny. If you've never seen Fear of a Black Hat, go out of your way to watch it. It is one of my absolute favorite comedies of all time. If you don't like rap music, you might not like it, but they make fun of rap, so there's that, I guess. But yeah, it's really good. Fear of a Black Hat, it's amazing. Anyway, Shelby.
Liar, Liar.
I have not watched that in so long.
I actually rewatched it like a couple of days ago. It wasn't Wednesday. I think I watched it over the weekend.
The pen is blue.
The pen is royal blue.
Hey, Jesse.
Yeah.
I've never watched it.
That's fine. I know you don't like Jim Carrey.
I don't like him a lot, so I didn't go out of my way to watch it.
It's definitely one of his over-the-top ones, but less annoying than Ace Ventura and The Mask.
Oh, see, I liked Ace Ventura. Both of those movies so much.
Oh, I like them, but the annoying factor is very high.
Do you not like it when he talks out of his butt?
Not particularly, sorry.
Yeah, no, I like Liar Liar a whole lot. It's a real good movie, and it still is pretty funny to watch. I still enjoyed it.
Oh, Jesse, let's go to you.
Oh, I was really hoping that you guys would have taken more of mine and it would have been, you know, a little bit more narrowed down. So next I'm going to go with Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
Not even on my list. It's funny. It's funny, but it's not on my list.
It's very funny.
I thought about putting it on mine, but it was one of the ones that got cut.
It's arguably, no, that's not true. Blazing Saddles is my favorite Mel Brooks film. But
yes.
Robin Hood, Men in Tights is definitely a number two. I really, really, really like that movie.
Well, it's certainly better than Spaceballs.
I would agree with that, even though I do like Spaceballs way more than you do.
All right, what's her name? Lindsay.
Me. We're back to me.
Yeah. Okay, I'm only rushing through these because I know we all have more than five, so we can cram as many as possible.
I'm going to throw out Heavyweights.
I love that movie.
I go back to that movie on a yearly basis because it just makes me smile.
It's so fun.
Ben Stiller is insane in it.
It's got young Keenan.
Literally.
I love little Keenan.
Oh, sorry. I thought
I
thought Jesse was going to say something else there. My bad.
Yeah.
Oh, just young Keenan.
It's okay. I only caught the tail end of it because everything like cut out.
Yeah, same. Same. So I honestly forgot which one you said because I was looking. Did you say Heavyweights?
Heavyweights, yes.
I've never seen it.
Oh, it's so good.
It's a delightful film.
It's basically the main kid in it gets told he's going to a fat camp, but it's a fun fat camp, only to find out when they get there the owners have gone bankrupt, and the guy that has bought it, it was going to basically use the summer camp to film a weight loss promotion video to make money off of.
Yep.
Okay.
So what's supposed to be like a fun, relaxing, yes, let's get you in shape, but let you still enjoy it type thing turns into like a sweatshop camp, basically.
As you know, there's nothing funnier than sweatshops.
The way they do it is enjoyable.
But they rise up against him and stop his evil plans.
Oh my.
And Lars, who is from far away.
My God, I can't keep this to five. Fuck you guys.
That's all right. Moving on, what's your next one?
My next one is Bebe's Kids. No, I'm fucking with you. No one will ever put Bebe's Kids on their list, ever.
I at least know what that is.
And I think if you put Bebe's Kids on your list, you should probably seek help. this is an obvious one, but I'm going to go for it anyway. Gremlins 2, the new batch.
Okay. I was expecting you to have that one.
It's a lot funnier than the first Gremlins. It's kind of like The Evil Dead, where it's way more slapstick comedy than the first one was. Again, if you don't know Gremlins, yeah, it's about a little Mogwai named Gizmo, and he gets wet, and then he makes other Mogwais, and then they eat after midnight, and they turn into monsters. What I like about this one is that it's very self-satirical. They make fun of the fact that you can't feed them after midnight. There's a great part in the movie where the guy says, well, what if you're on a plane and you cross time zones and they eat? You know, it's just the way they reference their own bullshit logic is very, very funny. It's got a great cameo by Christopher Lee. It's got Dick Murray, which is always fun. And a lot of just great, great jokes. It's fantastic. It's also making fun of Donald Trump, because the main guy is named Daniel Clamp. He's got Clamp Tower. I would very much vote for Daniel Clamp before I would ever vote for Donald Trump.
Honestly, a lot of people in the 80s and 90s made fun of Donald Trump on like movies.
The good news, they're still making fun of him, but now he's our fucking president. Let's go to Shelby.
Yeah.
Clerks is my other one.
Well, let me mark that one off. I think another fun game is to see who picks whose. Okay.
I was about to put that one on. Like, she saw me writing that on my list. I was like, nope, I took it already. Nope. It's mine.
You can't have it.
There's a couple
not that
of them I told
anyone
them,
needs to know about it, but tell us about it.
Do what?
And I said not that anyone doesn't know what it is, but please tell us about it.
So these two guys named Randall and Dante run this convenience store, and basically they just kind of dick around the whole time, making fun of customers, and this is the one where they play hockey on the roof all the time.
And it was a classic. Did you ever watch Clerks 2? And more importantly, did you ever watch the animated series?
Yes, to both.
Yes, I had the animated series on DVD, and I think Chad took it, you son of a bitch. Anyway, Jesse, you know they're making a part 3.
No, they're not.
Give me 1 second. Let me verify that that's not being made anymore.
Yeah, no, Randall won't do it.
I think they're doing it without him.
I don't think so. Because I think Kevin Smith said he did not want to do it without Randall.
It says it's still coming out. I don't know.
Question marks.
I don't know. We'll see what happens. Let's keep going.
Because Randall's a hard no. He said not going to happen.
I'm looking at an article from October of 19 that says it's coming back and Randall agreed to do it, but that could have changed.
Well,
I don't know.
Well, okay, maybe he changed his mind. Maybe after the reboot he changed his mind. All right, my next one. Oh God, there's so many.
Yeah, it's a real problem.
I'm gonna go with
Random Fire.
Groundhog Day.
I almost want to argue that and say, no, you can't take that one from me, but I'm going to let you.
Well, because it's a Ramis film?
It's a Ramis film, and it's like one of my favorite, if not my favorite comedy of all time, one of my favorites, but in the interest of fairness, it sounds like you love it too. So please, Jesse, tell me about Groundhog Day.
Shannon, it's almost like you and I have very similar interests in films.
It's almost like you and I are the same goddamn person. And that's what people have been trying to tell us for years.
So long have they been trying to convince us of this. Now, Groundhog Day is a phenomenal film starring the one and only Bill Murray.
In the movie that broke his friendship with Harold Ramis.
True. He basically he's repeating Groundhog Day over and over and over and over again in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And yeah, he repeats it so many times and trying to get like basically his perfect day. And went over a woman that he ends up falling in love with. It's a very, very fun movie.
And also very heavy. And that's where the argument came from, because Harold Ramis wanted to do more of a philosophical film. He wanted more of the questioning of humanity and why we do what we do and what we would do in that situation. Whereas, Bill Murray wanted that, and Harold Ramis wanted it to be more of a comedy. He wanted it to just be more of a straight-up comedy, and they kind of had an argument about that. They did not see eye-to-eye, and apparently it broke their friendship until before Harold Ramis passed away, when they made up, and unfortunately Harold Ramis died, but yeah, it's such a good movie.
So good.
Lindsay.
Next, I'm going to go with 10 Things I Hate About You.
Is that one with Heath Ledger?
Ledger?
Yeah.
And Julia Stiles.
Yes.
The modernized version of Taming of the Shrew.
Yeah. I've seen it, but I don't remember anything about it other than I had a crush on the other sister. Wasn't that the girl from Alice Mack?
Look at me, look at me.
Because Shelby won't speak up for herself, you took one off of her list.
I'm sorry.
Oh, it's fine.
God, why does it sound so much more evil when it happens to Shelby?
But yeah, no, it's just another one of those ones I like. This is actually the movie that I learned who the group Letters to Cleo was.
And you're a big fan of them.
I am.
I know that for certain. All right. Oh, God. Now I've got this gigantic list and I have to pick from it. What are we on, number four?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've lost track. I thought we were just going to cram as many as we could at this point.
All right. If I have to pick... I'm gonna take a page out of Jesse's book and let's go back to Bill Murray. What about Bob?
I don't think I've seen
nobody.
It.
Okay,
I feel like I've seen this film, but at the same time,
so I watched this movie so much when I was a kid. It's basically Bill Murray follows his therapist. I think it's Richard Dreyfuss, and he's going on vacation to get away because Bill Murray is like awful. He's just this terrible neurotic guy, and he's driving him crazy. But he follows him out on his vacation, and then he's basically trying to murder Bill Murray.
Yes, I have seen this film.
It's very, very funny. It's kind of a forgotten classic, I think. So if you get a chance, ask yourself, what about Bob? Shelby.
I've got Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
Hey,
I've never seen
this.
It, but I know it's a good one.
I just realized. Oh.
He's gone.
What's that?
Said Tanner left us, I just realized.
Oh, he's been
gone.
Yeah,
he left a while back. I think we made too many bucket jokes about him.
Oh.
So Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, it's the story of Hunter S. Thompson and cocaine, I think. Was it cocaine?
Yeah, it was various amounts of different drugs. They just take a bunch of them on their way through the drive through the desert to cover whatever race they had to cover with all the drugs.
And it was Johnny Depp and then Benicio Del Toro, and it's a fantastic movie.
Yeah, and Gary Busey's the cop that pulls them over at some point and harasses them.
Oh, Gary Busey.
Yeah, so you didn't have to sell me anymore, but there you go. I'll watch Gary Busey put peanut butter on bread. that man's just entertaining to me. Jesse.
Alright, rounding out my top five. Can anybody guess what that's going to be?
Goof Troop.
A goofy movie?
Lindsay got it.
I meant that. I just said Goof Troop by accident. Sorry.
I purposely left animated films off of mine because that would be a whole list on its own.
I mean, we're talking about comedies from the 90s.
I know. You were going to have a goofy movie. That's just a given. Yeah. I mean, you're the person anytime I see any Goofy movie merchandise on Box Lunch, I send it to you.
Yes,
so.
And I appreciate it always.
The 600th time, Jesse, tell us about Goofy movie.
No.
Aw.
Stop talking about it. Just go watch it.
It is the movie about High Dad Soup.
Yeah, it's...
And Powerline.
Oh, I love Powerline. Go watch Goofy Movie if you haven't. It's so ridiculously good.
All right, Lindsay, last one in your top five.
Okay, I'm going to cheat for my last one and combine two because I like them both and they're technically the same thing.
No.
I'm doing it. Addams Family and Addams Family Values.
I don't think you can do that, but okay.
Because I can't pick. I enjoy both of them so much.
You know what made that... Oh, what's that?
I just... Huh?
Oh, I heard Shelby say something. I don't want to interrupt her.
They were really good.
Yes.
They were.
Raul Julia was...
Every Thanksgiving, I still watch the clip when they're at camp and Pugsley just comes out and goes, I'm a turkey! Kill me!
What's not as funny is what happened to that kid.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Let me look it up real quick.
While he's looking that up, Lindsay, have you seen the new Addams Family movie?
No, but I've heard terrible things about it.
Oh, me and Shelby liked it.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
I'll give it a shot. I thought it was streaming somewhere.
I think it's streaming on... shit, where did we watch it? We watched it streaming somewhere.
I don't remember where. It's not nearly as dark as the other movies, but it's still really good.
Like, I liked all the trailers and stuff for it, but then when it came out, like, I just heard nothing good about it, unfortunately. So it hasn't been top on my list to get around to watching.
I think you'll still enjoy it, at least.
Yeah, I think it was weird because it was a, it was kind of, the look was based more on like the old comic or the, whatever than the...
Yeah, it was based more on the original television series, and they even pulled a little bit from the 90s cartoon.
Yeah. All right, real quick, my last one, and this isn't the best movie on the list, but just for sheer amount, is Kevin, does Kevin still listen to this show, Jesse?
Yeah.
All right, Kevin, this one's for you as well. Because I can't think of a movie that we, like us, me, Jesse, Kevin, and Matt Sin, didn't quote more than this, and it's Almost Heroes.
Yes.
Like, maybe, I don't know if Jesse quoted as much as me and Kevin, but my God.
Boy, Kevin liked that movie.
Oh, I mean, it's I like such it a funny too. Movie.
It's a really good movie.
Chris, it's Chris Farley and it's Matthew Perry, and they're trying to find
They're trying to beat Lewis and Clark, Lewis and Clark yeah. to the West Coast.
Yeah, and it's so stupid. Like, it's so stupid. It's not funny, but it's so funny.
You mentioned Kevin. I thought you were going to go with Dumb and Dumber, and then I remember you hated that movie.
I am not a fan of that film. No.
I think that might be, if I recall correctly, I believe that is Kevin's favorite comedy of all time.
The first one's not as bad. The prequel was god awful. The sequel I never saw, but I assume it was terrible.
It was also terrible. No, Dumb and Dumber needed to have been left alone, and it was just, it was glorious by itself. That was another one that I had struggled to not put in the top five.
Yeah,
I got dragged to the theaters for that one by my cousin that was a couple years older than me because she had a massive crush on Jim Carrey and no one else would go to the movie with her.
Blah.
Such a good movie.
What, the first Dumb and Dumber?
Yeah.
Again, the first Dumb and Dumber is not that bad.
Yeah, no, it's got some gross humor, well, but it's not bad.
My favorite joke from it, and you'd be surprised that it's my favorite joke, and it's only my favorite joke because there's one of my favorite bits, and if Hunter's listening, I think he knows which one I'm talking about, probably Cody too. There was a SNL skit where they had Jeff Daniels on interviewing him about the film, and they kept showing a clip, and it was the same clip, no matter what the setup was, of him going to the bathroom.
Yeah, because he had laxatives. Yeah.
And they're like, well, Jeff Daniels, we hear that you have a clip from your new film coming out, and he's like, no, I don't. And then they go back to that same clip again. So that was very funny.
I like that. I've seen that skit, and I really, really liked it.
All right, so I know we've all got extra ones on our list. Let's just go down the list real quick. We'll start with Shelby, read the rest of yours, then Jesse, then Lindsay, then me. And these are all comedies that you should definitely check out. Shelby.
I've got Rover Dangerfield, The Mask. Yes.
Ooh.
What was the other one I had? Casper, which I thought was pretty funny.
Oh, I haven't watched that in forever.
George of the Jungle, Ace Ventura, the pet detective one. And that was it for me.
All right, Jesse.
The other ones I've got, I have Billy Madison on there just in case somebody took Happy Gilmore. And of course, Dumb and Dumber, Wayne's World, Friday, Major Payne, Basketball, Men in Black, Bad Boys, and Nutty Professor. And then I ran out of note.
Wow, that none of those are on my list. I'm shocked.
I'm also shocked.
I'm really shocked. Lindsay.
Mrs. Doubtfire, Hook.
I forgot about Hook.
I forgot that.
While You Were Sleeping.
Oh, I was going to put that on there because, as you all know, number one crush of all time, Sandra Bullock in that movie.
Jawbreakers, and I have the Mighty Ducks on
there. The Mighty Ducks. Oh. How did I forget about the Mighty Ducks?
You've got so many other options.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I kind of have a loaded list here. It's a little longer than
yes,
you guys.
Yes, have some. That's okay.
Beverly Hills Cop 3.
Yes.
Hot Shots.
Yes.
Naked Gun 2.5.
Yes.
Loaded Weapon 1. Which probably no one's seen but me. Has anyone else seen Loaded Weapon 1?
I have.
Only if you made me watch it.
It's National Lampoon. It's Emilio Estevez and Samuel L. Jackson.
Yes, you had me
Tim
watch
Curry's
it.
In it. Yeah, Whoopi Goldberg. Oh my God, it's so funny. Cabin Boy, which is another one no one's seen. It's Chris Elliott. David Letterman is in it. That's very good. Doc Hollywood, Michael J. Fox film. Very funny.
I haven't seen that in a long time either.
Ernest Scared Stupid.
Yes.
Maverick, which is fucking fantastic if you've never seen. Jesse, have you seen Maverick?
No.
Oh, it's so good. James Garner and Mel Gibson. It's based on the old Western TV show. It's really good. You should watch it. Swimming with Sharks, another one of my favorite indie comedies that I've talked about a million times on the show. Empire Records, fantastic.
Ooh, that's a good one too.
My Fellow Americans. If you've never seen My Fellow Americans, watch it, especially as we're heading to the election. Crack you up. And last, I had Dogma.
Oh, I like Dogma. So. Also, you said Beverly Hills Cop, and that reminded me of Beverly Hills Ninja.
Ninja. I forgot about Drop Dead Gorgeous also.
Even funnier than Beverly Hills Ninja, though, was Tracy Morgan and Whodat Ninja.
Oh, my God.
So what's your favorite comedies? I know you've got some. Tomorrow we'll probably talk about a little bit on the Friday show, because I feel like this is one Hunter's definitely going to want to take part in. Probably Dalton, too, because I know both those guys really like comedy. And Tanner, if he's there, I'm sure he'll want to jump in on this. So we'll do that tomorrow. We should have made a list of this. Although I feel like these, other than a couple of these, because a couple of them are kind of deep dives, but a lot of them are pretty well-known. You should definitely go watch them if you haven't. And that's going to do it for us this week. I want to thank everybody for tuning in and for your thoughts and prayers that I don't have COVID. You know, keep those prayers coming. Make sure you go to my OnlyFans account and tip and follow, or else COVID said it's not going to let me go. we'll be back tomorrow with the Horse Time here on the network. And who knows what happens during Horse Time? It literally could be anything. Next week, we're back with I Want to Believe on Monday. And then Tuesday, we're continuing the Star Wars thing. And, well, you know, if you listen to this show, you probably already know the way we do
so. We'll be back on Felucia.
We'll be back on Felucia shooting fish people. And Tanner will hopefully keep that lightsaber hidden for once. All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye, Felucia.
We'll see you tomorrow on the Friday show. You guys take care of yourselves. Later.